movies, music, television, and more. This is
Entertainment.
Rebooted.
Only on WZIP.
Hello, everybody. My name is Logan Buchanan, and thank you for joining me on this wonderful episode of Entertainment Rebooted, as I am going to be talking about something that's usually on sports, but we figured this is a little bit more entertainment focused, as WWE is sports and entertainment. I'm going to be rebooking What If CM Punk Never Left the WWE in 2014. Let's get right into it. So, for a little background, like I said, CM Punk did leave the WWE in January 27th, 2014, and I will be rebooking all of that from that date up until WrestleMania 31, going through some pay-per-views, as well as a very special Raw. So, background knowledge, CM Punk was very unhappy with his situation within the WWE. He was feuding with the Authority, mainly Kane at that time, especially during the Royal Rumble series, where he had an amazing Royal Rumble match when he was thrown out by Kane after Kane had already been eliminated. So, after some real-life injuries, he was fed up. He walked into the office and said, "I'm leaving." But this What If starts us off with CM Punk walking into Vince McMahon's office, but instead of quitting, he does hear Vince and Hunter out, and he agrees to stay. But this booking is very hindering on two different things that Punk would have wanted. Number one, he would have agreed to the WrestleMania match with Triple H that they wanted, but he will win. He wants that. He wants that set in stone. He doesn't want to lose to another part-timer. Then, number two, Daniel Bryan gets to be in the main event of WrestleMania 30. That was a big thing CM Punk talked about on the famed Colt Cabana podcast, where he said, it doesn't make sense why the hottest guy in the WWE is not in the main event. You have two people that no one wants to see in the main event, main eventing. Why not throw in the people that they actually want? So Daniel Bryan will be in the main event. And that brings us to the first pay-per-view of the booking. It is WWE Elimination Chamber, where CM Punk faces off against Kane. This will settle their rivalry, put that in the past, because honestly, it was very good. They liked working with each other, but it just doesn't make sense to continue on a multi-month long feud. Get it over with now. CM Punk beats Kane. He beats him. In the build to this match, I would have CM Punk throwing multiple shots at both the Authority, Triple H, and Kane. So after his victory, Triple H comes out and just beats down CM Punk. He leaves him in a mess, just like he did to Daniel Bryan in the real timeline. Have him do it to Punk, you know, handcuff him, just really go into him about being a B-plus player. We're basically doing the build that Bryan got the same exact way, but also having CM Punk being involved as another indie darling, another B-plus player that shouldn't be at the level that they're at. Later on in the night, some notable matches that I want to touch on are the Chamber match, which will go the exact same way. Daniel Bryan having an amazing showing, but Randy Orton winning, as well as the Shield versus the Wyatt family match. But in my timeline, the Shield will defeat the Wyatt family. This is very important. We want a lot of more momentum. I know that this victory over the Shield kind of helped Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family after losing for a little while in their bookings. But I think the Shield winning is more important to this story than the Wyatt family. That brings us on to WrestleMania 30. So instead of Triple H and Daniel Bryan, we get Triple H versus CM Punk. And the main event, Triple Threat, stays the same, as it's between Randy Orton, Batista, and Daniel Bryan. The main story going into WrestleMania, like I said, is the Authority against the indie darlings, the B-plus players, CM Punk, and Daniel Bryan. Everyone that the fans want against the Authority and what they say is best for business. So we get that legendary monster promo, but I would throw in clips of CM Punk in Ring of Honor going up through the ranks. He was the gangster with John Cena, then dwindling in ECW until finally getting his moments in the spotlight with the pipe bomb. that promo would be amazing. It was already amazing, so that's why I didn't want to get rid of it. I just want to add a little nugget to it. So during the CM Punk and Triple H match, Kane and the New Age Outlaws come out and try to help Hunter, but the Shield turn against the Authority and defend off against the Kane and the New Age Outlaws. So instead of having the Kane and New Age Outlaws versus the Shield as an actual match, I think this little brawl is a lot better. The match wasn't even really a match. It was a squash match on Mania. So having the Shield get involved in this would be a lot more beneficial towards them and kind of creating a relationship between the Authority and CM Punk, which will be very important later on. After that brawl, CM Punk would defeat Triple H with a go to sleep, fulfilling that first part of his contract, finally defeating a part-timer, which was a huge gripe with him. He faced The Rock. Rock went away after winning. He faced Undertaker. Undertaker went away after winning. He faced Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar went away after beating him. So Punk is sick and tired of all these part-timers beating him and then leaving. So he walks away with the victory. Later on in the night, keep the main event the exact same. Lightning in a bottle struck with Daniel Bryan. I want him to beat Randy Orton and Batista, defying the odds. Give him that big moment. Have him celebrate with Conor the Crusher. Do whatever you need to do just to get that same kind of reaction. But at the end of the night, when he's up on that ramp, giving the yes chance, have CM Punk come out, shake his hand, hug him, and raise his hand in victory. Give us that same Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit moment that happened 10 years earlier at WrestleMania 20, but this time at WrestleMania 30. Two guys who should have never made it in the WWE celebrating in the main event of WrestleMania 30. Moving on, we have Extreme Rules. For Extreme Rules, we get the same six-man tag match between The Shield and Evolution. I thought those matches, that feud, was perfect. So same outcome, Shield beating them. Now, this is where my booking goes a little bit. You kind of have to agree with me rather than kind of like suspend your disbelief, I should say, because I am going to be using some people who would be injured at that time, but because I have them in different situations, there is a chance that those injuries never happen. So Daniel Bryan, he's going to still be active when Roman Reigns goes away for a little bit towards Slammies. He's going to still be active in this booking. You just have to trust me. They're in different situations. The injuries could have been prevented in this scenario. So that gets us to Daniel Bryan. And originally, he would face off against Kane. But in my booking, I would have Daniel Bryan go up against Cesaro at WrestleMania 30. Cesaro won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which gained him a WWE title match in my booking, instead of just winning the Battle Royal and getting nothing out of it. I think having Cesaro go up against Bryan in the main event of the next pay-per-view for the WWE title, one, establishes Cesaro as a credible threat, two, establishes the Battle Royal as something that someone should actually want to win rather than just getting a trophy. It makes it prestigious. It makes it worthwhile. Cesaro will put up a great fight. It's Cesaro and Daniel Bryan. They're going to have an amazing wrestling match. But Bryan retains the WWE Championship. And CM Punk, rather than having a match on this night, will cut a promo announcing that Payback will be in his hometown of Chicago, Illinois, and promises to have a great match on that show. In real life, Payback was at Chicago, so why not have the Chicagoan himself, CM Punk, announce it? But while he is announcing it, Bray Wyatt will attack him as he won earlier in the night against John Cena. I would have the feud end there. Don't have another match. End it there and have CM Punk feud with Bray Wyatt. Bray will come in, just demolish Punk again, very similar to how Punk was left lying against Triple H, this time left lying against the Wyatt family, where the final segment of CM Punk on Extreme Rules is him laying on the ground with Bray Wyatt in that iconic pose above him. That takes us right to Payback. And after that attack from the Wyatt family at Extreme Rules, CM Punk began to take out every single member. Harper, Rowan, he would attack Bray. He would just make sure that the odds were stacked evenly, rather in the Wyatt family's favor. And leading up to Payback, they announce it's going to be him versus Bray Wyatt in a no-holds-barred match. The two go to war with each other. And it looks like Bray has Punk, as he has him in the Sister Abigail, but Punk reverses into a GTS and pins Bray Wyatt for the win. Later on in the night, the Shield and Evolution match, once again, exactly the same. Have the Shield sweep them and win off against Evolution. breaking up, which will lead to them breaking up. In this timeline, instead of Brian getting injured, like I said, he will continue his run, and he faces off against another newcomer in Rusev in a big David versus Goliath match. I think this would be a good match to, one, make Rusev look very, very credible as he starts going towards that United States Championship, while also having a good match for Brian as he's just getting beaten up by these younger guys. He's getting beaten up by these bigger guys, but he manages to win. Now, this is where the booking kind of skews a little bit, because we are going to the night after Payback, the Raw after Payback. As I said, for the most part, this pod's focused on the pay-per-view, but this is one of the most important Raws. I would even argue the most important Raw in 2014, and that is because of Plan B, when Randy Orton and Triple H come out and Seth Rollins turns on the Shield, defying everyone's thoughts of the brothers sticking together through and through. He takes a chair to Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose's back, aligning himself with the Authority and christening himself as the Future. Later on in the night, Daniel Bryan will be giving a promo saying after that hard-fought battle, he's still not done. He's still ready to face some more challengers. And that's when the Authority comes out with Triple H, Randy Orton, and Seth Rollins. Triple H announces that Money in the Bank will consist of two different ladder matches, one for the Money in the Bank briefcase, and instead of the WWE title being up vacant, it will be Daniel Bryan's WWE World Championship that is hung above the ring. He says Bryan will have to defend all the odds as he goes up against Randy Orton, Kane, and a new member of the Authority, when from behind, Cesaro attacks Daniel Bryan, christening himself with the Authority and ending that vital night of Monday Night Raw. This leads us to Money in the Bank. The two most important matches of the night are those two ladder matches that I said, just like in real life, have Seth Rollins win the Money in the Bank briefcase, with the match being the exact same with the same lineup of challengers, especially Dean Ambrose, because we will be kicking off that feud leading into the summer. In the main event, Daniel Bryan defends his WWE World Championship against Randy Orton, Kane, Cesaro, and four members who had to enter the match through qualifying matches. Those would be John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Sheamus, and CM Punk. Like I said, all of those guys had to qualify, whereas the Authority, they just got in. They were just allowed to be in the match. During the match, Orton, Kane, and Cesaro obviously focus all of their energy on Bryan and Punk, really trying to tear down those quote-unquote B-plus players. When, in the final few minutes of the match, Daniel Bryan is climbing the ladder when he gets pulled off into an RKO by Randy Orton. Randy then tries to climb the ladder, but is stopped by Kane and Cesaro. Kane then waves off Randy, and he points up and starts nudging Cesaro to climb the ladder. That's right, the Authority wants Cesaro as their man, and this completely just throws Randy's mind to the side. He is irate, and he hits Kane with an RKO, but is then thrown out of the ring by Cesaro. While all that's happening, CM Punk runs up the ladder. He's trying to get those titles, but is met with Cesaro's uppercuts. They go back and forth, blow for blow, until finally CM Punk lands a roundhouse on Cesaro and pulls down the WWE World Championship, winning the match and becoming the face of WWE. Now, the next pay-per-view was Battleground. There wasn't a whole lot of really good matches that I could think of. Just kind of put CM Punk in a regular match, maybe against Cesaro, maybe against Kane, you know, revitalizing that kind of feud. Just someone, a member of the Authority, trying to get CM Punk's title. What's really important is SummerSlam. What I forgot to mention was in the Money in the Bank match with Daniel Bryan taking so much punishment, he is written off TV with an injury. That'll help him rest those injuries that may have been overlying from the real life timeline, as well as any injuries that would have been picked up through his title defenses. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose will have their lumberjack match as they did in real life, with Seth Rollins winning, you know, getting that victory over Dean Ambrose. And after winning the WWE World Championship, CM Punk says, "That's enough. I'm sick of the Authority always hogging the main event, always implementing themselves in the matches when you people, you fans, don't want to see them. So I want a new challenger, a real challenger, someone who actually deserves that main event spot. And who comes out but the young, up-and-coming Roman Reigns. At this point in his career, Roman hasn't fully gotten the fans behind him or against him. So I'm hoping with this matchup, it will allow Roman to get a little bit taste of the main event. He's not going to win the match. CM Punk does win at SummerSlam. But at the end of the match, Punk acknowledges Roman Reigns before he's the tribal chief. He shakes his hand. He raises his hand. And the two walk out as potential allies. The next pay-per-view of the year is Night of Champions. But like I said, that's not as important to the booking. Maybe have CM Punk go up against a younger talent, maybe say Wade Barrett or maybe Rusev again, just someone who's not in the Authority but also a credible heel to his championship, but he will retain. Now, what could end up being the most important pay-per-view of this booking is Survivor Series. It's going to be controversial, I know, because that 2014 Survivor Series match is so iconic, but I will have to change the lineup. So hear me out, stick with me. I'm not crazy, I promise. The teams for this Survivor Series match is Team Authority, consisting of Seth Rollins, Cesaro, Kane, Bray Wyatt, and The Big Show. They go up against Team CM Punk, which consists of CM Punk, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, Dolph Ziggler, and John Cena. Now, let's start off hot. John Cena gets shockingly defeated after getting attacked by Brock Lesnar before the match. Brock comes out, just goes to town on John Cena, throws him into the ring, and he gets pinned by one of the members of Team Authority. You know, John Cena, one of the biggest members of this team, gets defeated right off the bat. This could lead to a Brock versus Cena matchup where Brock dominates, like in SummerSlam in the real timeline, but in our timeline had to be rebooked. After that, The Big Show and Kane will get picked off by Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, kind of giving those two some credible notions as they're able to hang, they're able to defeat some giants. And it also harkens back to the year prior in 2013 when Roman Reigns went absolutely nuts during a Survivor Series match. After that, that will leave us with Seth Rollins, Cesaro, and Wyatt versus Punk, Reigns, Ambrose, and Ziggler. This gives the edge to Team Punk, but Seth Rollins sneaks a low blow behind the ref's back to pin Dean Ambrose, tying up the teams, and once again getting the edge over Dean. After this, Reigns goes for a spear, but gets caught in a Sister Abigail, which eliminates him. CM Punk and Ziggler are now down. They have really no one else to go to. It is now 2-3. After getting beat down by Team Authority, Ziggler rolls up Cesaro for a shocking pinfall, tying up the team. But once again, the numbers, man. Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins, those devious heels, they really beat down on Ziggler. The fans are behind him. After a reversal, Ziggler crawls to Punk's corner with the ref down from Seth Rollins' deviousness. He goes for the tag, but right as he's about to make it, Punk is ripped from the corner and attacked by Randy Orton. He's back. We haven't seen him in months since he got betrayed by the Authority. He's back. He takes out CM Punk. He rolls into the ring, and it looks like he's about to get an RKO on Dolph Ziggler. But instead, RKOs his former Authority member, Seth Rollins, fully turning his back on everybody and becoming a lone wolf. After this, Ziggler is pulled on top of Rollins, and the ref comes back to count the pin. Bray comes in and starts wailing on Ziggler. Right, left, right, left, until eventually Dolph reverses and flails backwards to tag CM Punk. CM Punk runs in and begins to gain momentum against Bray until he eventually picks him up for a GTS. But remembering their match prior at Payback, Bray reverses it into a Sister Abigail and eliminates the world champion CM Punk. As Bray celebrates his pin over Punk, Dolph slides in and hits Bray with a zigzag to win the match for Team CM Punk. So I know I had to change it, but hopefully this showing from Dolph will get the same kind of reactions that the 2014 one did. It keeps him strong, but it also makes more sense with these guys than it did originally with guys like Ryback, Eric Rowan, and Luke Harper, Mark Henry. It just didn't make too much sense in the original timeline. It was still an amazing match, but I think this one is just a little bit better. And that leads us to TLC. And instead of Cena versus Rollins in a tables match, we get Orton versus Rollins for the Money in the Bank briefcase, which Rollins would win to retain. On this night, CM Punk and Dolph Ziggler have a contract signing for the Royal Rumble. Punk gives Dolph this for being such a key, a vital figure in their win at Survivor Series. And another key change on this card is instead of Rusev versus Jack Swagger for the U.S. title, we get Dean Ambrose versus Rusev, where Ambrose picks up the win. This leads us to Royal Rumble. Almost a year to the date after Punk would have left, he's back at the Royal Rumble, and we get a rematch between himself and Dolph Ziggler from 2 years prior. The two tear the house down, put on an absolute wrestling clinic, and it is the closest Punk has looked to losing his title since he won it back at Money in the Bank. Eventually, however, Punk does manage to defeat Dolph Ziggler as he sinks in the Anaconda Vice and Dolph Ziggler passes out. This will keep Dolph strong while also allowing CM Punk to win. Later on in the night, in the Royal Rumble match, we are eagerly awaiting number 30 as Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Randy Orton, Kane, and Rusev are all battling in the ring. The countdown begins, and we get down to 3, 2, 1, and out comes Daniel Bryan. He's returned after 6 months on the shelf, and he starts off hot, eliminating the Big Red Machine, Kane. After that, Randy and Bryan start brawling, revitalizing their feud from the year prior. Meanwhile, while that's happening, Rusev is eliminated by Roman Reigns, and then Reigns is swiftly eliminated by his friend, Dean Ambrose. Dean realizes, hey man, we're best friends, but I gotta win this title. So Daniel Bryan reverses an RKO by throwing Randy over the top rope, leaving just himself and Dean Ambrose as the final two. The two have a near 10-minute brawl until eventually Bryan throws the United States champion over the top rope. And as Ambrose saves himself, he can't save himself twice as Daniel Bryan comes running with a running knee to solidify himself as the winner of the 2015 Royal Rumble. At Fastlane, after being thrown out by his friend, Roman Reigns challenges Dean Ambrose to a match for his United States Championship, which ends in a no contest as Seth Rollins attacks both of them. He's sick of these two getting all the spotlight, getting all the matches when he is the true future from the Shield. So he attacks both of them, raises the U.S. title and his Money in the Bank, setting up a huge match for WrestleMania. CM Punk defends his championship against John Cena. This match can never go wrong. It's CM Punk and John Cena, always a banger. And over the past few months, Cena's kind of been going through an existential crisis. He doesn't really know where he's going to end up. So he tries to get CM Punk's world title so that way he has a clear path to WrestleMania. But Punk does come through with the victory. After the match, Punk is standing in the ring. When Daniel Bryan comes out onto the stage, he points at the WrestleMania sign, he points at CM Punk, and the two smirkingly share a nod. This leads us to the final pay-per-view of this booking, WrestleMania 31, and there are two huge matches that I want to talk about. The triple threat match for the United States Championship between Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and champion Dean Ambrose. This match would be very similar to the one that they would have in real life at Battleground 2016, but would end with Roman Reigns spearing Seth Rollins and winning the match with the United States Championship. At this point in his career, Roman wouldn't have all of the fans booing and really sick of him up to this point because he hasn't been pushed in that main event yet. He hasn't been pushed down the throats. So this would allow for Roman to get a more natural progression through the mid-card up to that main event status, as well as getting us the Shield main event at a Shield triple threat at WrestleMania. In the main event, CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan for the WWE World Championship. Just 1 year out from their epic WrestleMania moment at WrestleMania 30, the two are now facing off in the main event. The two men go for about 40 minutes, putting on a wrestling clinic attuned to their days in Ring of Honor, just fully showcasing what this next generation of wrestling looks like. Bryan goes for a running knee, but is caught by CM Punk. He puts him up, hits the GTS, but the two are so exhausted, they both crumble to the mat. And then, just like in real life, we hear the theme song of Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins comes running down the ramp with that Money in the Bank briefcase, slides in, he cashes in, he's committing the heist of the century. He's going to try and beat CM Punk and Daniel Bryan and steal this main event. Rollins goes for the stump on Bryan, but is caught in the LaBelle lock. Punk breaks up the submission and puts Bryan up for the GTS. As he stands there with Bryan on his shoulders, Rollins kicks Punk in the stomach, and as Punk leans forward, he drops Bryan and then is dropped by Seth Rollins as he hits the stomp for the 1-2-3. Seth Rollins, just like in real life, walks out of WrestleMania with the WWE World Championship, committing the heist of the century, just as he did in the real timeline. And this can set up many matches between Seth and Bryan, Seth and Punk, or all three men. So, how do you think I did? How did you like this booking of what if CM Punk stayed in WWE? Despite losing some cool moments, I will say we would lose the likes of Sting's debut, Brock versus Cena, as well as some of the booking with the 2015 Rumble. But with the 2015 Rumble, I think that's a lot better with the case of Daniel Bryan winning. He should have won in real life. We still get that epic showcase from Dolph Ziggler in the Survivor Series match, plus the Shield triple threat and Rollins walking out with the heist of the century. Like I said, how do you think I did? Do you think you could have done it better? Let me know on X at WZIP. And of course, stay tuned for more episode of Entertainment Rebooted. Thank you all for listening. I've been Logan Buchanan, and you've been awesome.